Radio. With the switch of a dial, radio brings you tragedy, comedy, entertainment, information, education. A whole world at your command.
But it takes the internet to bring you the
Retro Radio Podcast.
I love this little fat boy.
Retro Radio Podcast. Now located at retro-otr.com.
Today's feature is Baby Snooks, Abnormal Psychology, May 28, 1942.
First, an important message from Keith.
Rhapsody is the number one rated digital music service. Members get unlimited legal access to over 1 million songs, plus CD burning, sharing, and more. You can get started now with the Rhapsody 14-day free trial, and all you have to do is visit our webpage at retro-otr.com and click on the advertisement we have there for Rhapsody. When you do that, you can enjoy this great product, and you'll also be supporting our podcast.
Let's get started with a few classic moments with Abbott and Costello.
And to show you how much I like you, I'm going to let you lend me the $50.
But Abbott, all I got in my Christmas piggy bank is $40.
Well, all right, give me the $40 and you can owe me the $10.
Okay, here's the $40.
Okay.
Now I owe you $10.
That's right.
Who owes who?
Now, wait a minute, just a minute. Wait, how much did I ask you for?
You asked me for $50.
And how much did you give me?
I gave you all I had, $40.
So you owe me
$10. Well, that's right.
Why are you? All right, let it go with that. All right.
You owe me $40.
Costello, I don't like the way you're hedging on me.
And I don't like the way you're clipping my head.
Ah, come on.
Okay,
if that's the way you feel, I don't want to do business with a man like you. Here's your $40.
Oh, that's more like
it. Now give me the $10 you owe me.
Okay, here's the $10.
All right.
I'm paying you on account.
On account?
On account. I don't know how come I owe it to you.
Believe me, this is the last time I'll ever ask you for the loan of $50, Costello.
But look.
Never mind.
How can I lend you $50 now? I only had $40 to start with.
Well,
now I only got $30.
Well, okay, if it'll make you happy, I'll do you a favor. Give me the $30 and you can owe me $20.
This is getting worse all the time.
Now, wait a minute. Now what's the matter?
First I owed you $10, now I owe you $20. What kind of racket is that?
Well, why do you let yourself run into debt?
I didn't run into it. You pushed me.
Now for our featured presentation.
Hello, Daddy. Why do you look at me so strangely?
John, are you afraid of high places? Or confined areas?
No. What's this all about?
Well, I've been studying abnormal psychology in my spare time.
Oh. Well, that's a pretty abstruse subject for a working man, isn't it?
I can handle it. I have a very definite reason for delving into it, John.
I'm sure you must have, Daddy.
Oh, yes. For a long time now, I've had a strong suspicion that there's... Well, my wife and children are not exactly normal. They act funny.
But you're all right.
Oh, certainly. Take my wife. She's absolutely insane about waffles.
What about it? Does that make her abnormal if she likes waffles?
Well, I found out yesterday she had a trunk full of them. But my immediate concern is Snooks. At any rate, I bought a book on psychiatry and abnormal psychology.
Uh-huh.
Read up on it and waited for Snooks to come home so I could try out a few theories.
And?
I was sitting in my study when she came. Oh, hello, Snooks. Come in and close the door.
Why?
I want to have a little talk with you. Close the door.
I can't, Daddy.
Aha. Claustrophobia. You have claustrophobia.
What's that?
Oh, it's a morbid dread of being shut up in a confined space. That's what's the matter with you.
No, it ain't.
Then why can't you close the door?
Because it's already closed.
Oh. Well, open it. It's a little stuffy in here. can't stand these small rooms. What are you so crazy about?
I'm tired from a party.
Party? What party?
The one that Red took me to. And we played kissing games.
Kissing? Ah, precocious development of the Freudian id. What kind of kissing games did you play?
Well, we had to spin a bottle, and when I turned into a boy, he had to kiss you or give you a lollipop. Come on, I was very lucky, Daddy.
Oh, how were you lucky?
I won 86 lollipops.
I see. Indications of sublimated introversion.
What are you talking about, Daddy?
Snooks. You see this book I have in my hand?
Yeah.
It's a textbook on abnormal psychology.
Yeah.
It deals with the insane mind, and it can bring about the cure of a person with a mental affliction.
Did you read it, Daddy?
I did.
Do you feel better now?
I'm fine. I bought it on account of you.
Why?
Well, I decided that corporal punishment may not be the answer to correcting your many misdeeds. I'm sure you're not always aware that you're doing wrong, are you? Are you?
Ain't I?
I think not. And this book might save you from half the spankings you get.
I told him, Daddy.
Oh, I suppose you figure that two books will save you from all the spankings, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Hmm. Sounds like the shrewd reasoning of incipient schizophrenia. Oh, I wonder if all those spankings have injured your head.
No, Daddy. It's just the opposite.
What do you mean?
I like it when you spank me.
You mean you purposely do naughty things to get spanked?
Uh-huh.
Good heavens, this is terrible. Doesn't it hurt you when I spank you?
Sure it hurts.
Then why do you like it?
Well, every time you spank me, I cry.
Yes.
And when I cry, you feel sorry for me.
Well?
And when you feel very sorry, you give me a dime to buy ice cream.
Oh, I see. It's the ice cream you're after.
No, I hate ice cream.
Then why do you buy it?
I don't. I buy grapes instead.
Grapes?
Yeah. And when I bring them home, I take them upstairs and squash them on Robespierre's nose. That's what I like.
Oh, you had me worried for a minute. Snooks, I'm going to psychoanalyze you.
Huh?
I'll remove your repression.
Do I have to take off?
No, no. You do not have to take off your hat. Now, we'll start with a very simple test for reasoning power. Now, listen closely. I have three brothers, Ralph, George, and myself. That's wrong, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Why?
You forgot Uncle Louie.
That's not the answer at all. In the first place, Uncle Louie is Mommy's brother. And in the second place, I haven't any brothers.
Why did you say you had three brothers?
It's a hypothetical question, and the brothers I spoke of are imaginary.
Who put them there?
Where?
In a menagerie.
I didn't say anything about a menagerie. I said imaginary. But let's assume that I have brothers, and their names are Ralph and George. Is it right for me to say I have three brothers?
No.
Is it right for anybody to say it?
Yeah.
Who can say it?
Your sister.
What are you talking about?
Well, what's the answer?
Well, it's obvious. I only have... if I say I have... Wait a second till I look in the book. There. I was right. The answer is two brothers.
Is it?
Yes. And you didn't do very well on that question. But we'll proceed with a perception test. Now, close your eyes for a minute. Oh, go on. I won't hurt you. Now, close your eyes. There. Now, try to eliminate all the usual noises, like traffic, or my breathing, or yours.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Is it all quiet?
Yes, Daddy.
Now, listen. Do you hear any strange voices?
Hey, hurry up, Mom.
I don't hear nothing, Daddy.
You didn't hear anything at all?
No.
Well, I thought I... Oh, this is ridiculous.
Did you hear something?
No, of course not.
Hey,
Jeff! It's nothing. You see, some poor deluded people think they hear voices. It's the penetration of the subconscious.
Yes.
Yes. There's one thing that no walls, no doors, no windows can shut out. It reaches you no matter where you are. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, the smell of boiled cabbage.
No, it's your subconscious. But let's go on with the psychoanalysis. Snooks, there are 7 cows in a field. They're all walking in single file.
Uh-huh.
That means one behind the other.
Yeah.
Which cow can turn around and say, I see 6 cows?
None of them.
Oh, why do you say that?
Those cows can't talk, Daddy.
Oh. They got the wrong answer here.
Yeah.
This is idiotic. Why, certainly cows can't talk. Well, let's try another one.
Well, I want to go outside.
Snooks.
I want to go outside.
Now, it's just to find out how quick your reactions are. Just a simple little riddle.
All right.
Now, listen carefully.
All right.
It's not my sister. It's not my brother. But still, it's a child of my father and mother. Who is it?
I don't know.
Can't you guess?
No.
It's me.
Is it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Don't you see?
Hey,
if I...
Come on.
I heard it again.
Oh, I heard it.
It was only Red Daddy. He's waiting for me outside.
Oh. Oh. Well, call him in.
Yeah, and I'll see if he's crazy, too. I'll ask him that test.
I guarantee he'll know the answer.
Come on in, Red.
Gee, I've been waiting outside so long. Oh, hello, Mr. Higgins.
Hello, Red. Go on, ask him, Snooks.
All right. Are you crazy, Red?
Huh?
Well, now see if you can do this test. It's not my sister. It's not my father.
Brother.
Brother. But still, it's a child of my father and mother. Who am I? Red.
Oh, that's an old one. It's you.
No, it ain't. It's my daddy.
No, watch me, you. The child's balmy.
We have plenty of time, so enjoy a few minutes of feuding between Fred Allen and Jack Benny.
Listen, Alan, what's the idea of breaking in here in the middle of my singing?
Singing?
Yeah.
Now listen, Betty. I didn't mind it when you scraped that overnight bag 2 weeks ago and called that playing the bee.
Yeah.
But when you stand here tonight and set that whooping cough to music and call that singing, you're going too far.
Oh, you didn't like it, huh?
Like it? Why, you make Andy Devine sound like Lawrence Gibbons.
Here, Alan, I don't care what you say about my singing or my violin playing on your own program. But when you come up here, be careful. After all, I've got listeners.
Keep your family out of it.
My family likes my singing and my violin playing, too.
Your violin playing.
Yeah.
You're using the verb loosely, Mr. Ben. Even.
Yeah.
And found out that my tail. Found out that any part of my tail was being used in your violin bow, I'd hang my head and my oat bag from then on.
Well, you listen to me, you Wednesday night hawk. Another crack like that, and Town Hall will be looking for a new janitor.
Why? Why, you fugitive from a Ripley cartoon? I ought to bend your nose around until if you want to smell anything, you'll have to curb it. You lay a hand on me. You lay a hand on me. Anything you say accidentally will be better than the script.
Beauty. Keep this up, Alan, and I'll ask Don Wilson to fall on you. Carlson falls on you, you know what that means.
Oh, boy, press ham.
That a girl, Mary, that's a honey.
Quiet, Howard.
Howard?
Yes, Howard, and she doesn't mean that English entertainer, Noel, either.
I'm up here attending to my own business. There's no place to settle our private affairs. How did you get in here without a pass?
I made one at the door, man, and you're next.
Oh, I am, eh?
Gentlemen, don't fight here, please. Why don't you go over to the Madison Square Garden?
You keep out of this, you little squirt. Well, from now on, your wife will be having both ends of the herring.
I wish you'd follow him out.
Listen, cowboy, why didn't you stay out in Hollywood where you don't belong?
Because I heard you were coming out there to make a picture, that's why. You ought to do very well, Mr. Allen, now that Boris Karloff is in England.
Well, I saw your last picture, Lionel Penny.
Yes.
Until you made a picture, nobody knew what a lull looked like on celluloid. And maybe you didn't start bank night, but you certainly kept it going.
Oh, yeah? Well, three states are waiting for your picture to be released. They're going to use it instead of capital punishment.
Wow!
That's telling him, Jack.
Who's that pallbearer?
Stick him, Lyman.
Look what's going to make a picture. Fred Allen, the great... I suppose Gable and Taylor are losing a lot of sleep right now.
Not if they're listening to this broadcast.
What a witty retort. Where are you going to live in Hollywood, Mr. Allen? At the ostrich farm?
I may.
What are you laughing at, Mary?
You'll show those birds how to lay eggs.
Mary, that was marvelous. I'm going to kiss you for that.
Then I take it back.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah, she'd rather kiss an ostrich, and so would I.
Well, Allen, what, this gone a little too far. I didn't mind a little mud clinging now and then, but when you make those kind of remarks, it means fight where I come from.
You mean your blood would boil if you had any?
And I've got just enough to resent that. Mr. Allen, I come from the West. I'm a hard-boiling two-fifths of demon. And you'll step out in the hallway. I'm ready to settle this little affair man to man.
You're here.
Be the last number of the last program on any Jell-O series.
Next week, the Jell-O program starring Mary Livingston.
Come on, Allen, you want to go through with this?
I didn't come up here to get your autograph.
Now, listen, Allen, I'll give you just one more chance to apologize.
Apologize? Why, I'll knock you flatter than the first 8 minutes of this program.
Hold on there, Allen. Who touches a hair on Jack's gray head has to find it first.
Who said that? Never mind that. Come on, Allen. Get us away.
No, fellas, no. That's brutal. You're fighting me. You characters will end up playing dinner music at Barney's Beanery.
We couldn't do that, Phil. That's the Mar Davis shop.
Oh, why don't you stop that, Artie? Now, come on, guys. Let's take it by section. Now, let me hear them brasses. Oh, that's okay. Now, let me have the reeds. Gee, that's fine. Now let me hear them strings. Thank you, Ephraim. Now open that thing up and let Dave Rose out of there. Wait a minute, Artie. Wait a minute. Can't your mother-in-law ever get to Anaheim by herself?
Oh, yeah. Last week I sent her up there by thumb.
Oh, she hitchhiked, huh?
No, I tied a piece of rope around her thumb and hooked the other end to a Greyhound bus.
I see. Well, did she get to Anaheim all right?
No, but her thumb did.
Oh, Artie did.
And Benny and Allen at each other's throats out in the hallway.
And the women. Skinner will tell his version on his own program next Wednesday night.
Oh, now, I don't know about that. Jack can certainly take care of himself.
It's Alan he has to worry about.
Gee, I hope nothing's happened to either one of them, especially Jack.
Well, they're both pretty husky, although Jack did look just a little bit worried.
Oh, Jack doesn't care whether he wins or not. He's got a due bill on a hospital. Here they come now.
God, Freddy, those were the days, weren't they? You're a card, Jackie. Remember that time in Toledo when you walked into the magician's dressing room and stole his pigeon?
Do I? They tasted pretty good, didn't they, Fred?
The bones I got did, certainly did.
Hey, Freddy, you remember the guy in the show with us who used to take in washing on the side? You know, the guy that did our laundry?
Say, what's Ben Bernie doing now?
He's got a band, you know, Ben Bernie and All the Sun. Say, we didn't make much money in those days, Freddie, but we did get a lot of laughs.
We certainly did, until we walked on the stage.
Hey, Jack.
Yes, Freddie.
What happened to the fight?
What fight? Say, Freddie, remember that time in South Bend, Indiana, when you were going with 40?
Hey, no kidding, fellas. What happened to that fight?
Why, Don, we were never serious about that.
Well, how did you get that black eye?
Oh, this? Well, I was writing a letter.
Yes, I accidentally dotted his eye, Mary.
Now, wait a minute, Freddie. I slapped you more than you did me. Look at your wrist. It's all red.
Well, I made you say uncle, unquote, when I pulled your hair.
Uncle isn't the word, unquote, but let it go.
Say, Fred, here's a package you dropped on your way out to the hall.
Oh, yes, that's the box of candy I was going to give Jack.
Oh, Freddie.
Candy, can I have a piece?
Sure, but take the square ones, Mary. The round ones have got cement in them.
I see. And by the way, Fred, when you get home with that box of flowers I sent you, it's still ticking. Just put it in water.
I will. I will, and thanks for the tip, Jack.
Oh, gee, this candy is swell. Have a piece, Jack?
Mmm. Say, this is good chocolate. Wonderful flavor. What's it filled with, Freddie?
Ipana.
Oh. Well, I was going to brush my teeth anyway. I might as well eat it.
Well, Jack, I've got to go now. I've got a lot of work to do on my own program.
Okay, Fred. Well, thanks for your kind visit and apology.
What apology?
Never mind. Let's not start that again. Before you go, Fred, I want to tell you that I didn't mind one thing you said about me during our feud.
You didn't? Why not, Jack?
Well, I'll tell you. You said the darndest thing, Freddy. But you were so doggone cute with it all. You said the meanest thing. You're wacky, riding high, but you're due for a fall. I owe you some words.
You said I was bloodless.
You said I was tight. You insulted my fiddling.
A rootin' tootin' bootin' tootin' hot guitar.
We said the darndest thing. Howdy, but oh, we were so doggone cute with it all. And now we're friends.
Know you could sing that good.
Thanks, Jack. Well, I've got to leave you now. And, oh, by the way, Mr. Lyman.
Yes, Fred.
Now, listen, Tuffy. You lay off of my pal, Jack Benny. That's a hint. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey, we still have some time. Now what do we do?
Here. Play this.
What is it?
It's a song by Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc? Cool. I didn't know he could sing. What's the song called?
A Face for Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to meet you and to introduce myself. I'd like to tell you a little about my background. When I first came to Hollywood, it seems when film producers heard my vocal calisthenics consistently and loud, they shouted, "No! This guy don't rate with movie photogenics." They said my face was meant for radio. They said his face was meant for radio. Don't rub it in. So I developed character projection upon the air and finally got a call. Producers hollered, "Mel is our selection. 'Cause he's the biggest character of all. 'Cause he's the biggest character of all." You guys can be replaced, you know. I became the happy postman with a manner so beguiling. You remember?
Goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
I became a train announcer, and my tonsils did a conga with train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
They said that he'd look good on radio, and everybody told him where to go.
No coaching from the audience, please. As a violin teacher, I made a nice penny, which ain't doing bad when you work for Jack Benny.
What they tune your fiddle brings on, how I wish it had no strings on.
I force a smile and try to please and cry upon my pillow. I've even been Calliope's. Forgive me, please, Petrillo. Pedro, when I see a girl with grace, ah, Chiquita, I say,
pardon me for talking in your face, Senorita.
And then this little guy I've saved for last.
I'm Suki, and in the fix shop, I'm the president of the...
I got a fix-it shop, 'cause I had to find a way to pay the rent. I'm what is known as a successful flop, 'cause before I get a quarter, it is spent. I'm on a lot of air shows. If I'm lying, I should choke. My tax consultant says if I get one more show, I'm broke. So why do you think I got a fix-it shop?
'Cause for radio, his face was meant.
Agents get commission. Don't forget withholding tax. My dentist and physician, and my wife's account at Saks. Publicity and writers. Oh, my aching back and head. If I get laryngitis, then I might as well be dead. My paper profits grieve me, 'cause they never reach the bank. My assets, please believe me, like my second name, are blank.
Think you gotta fix it, shop.
And I only hope the darn thing really clicks. I am the lowest of the guys on top.
He has found that fame and fortune doesn't mix.
There's dough for entertainment, bills and bills the whole day long. I even had to pay a guy to write this stinking song. So why do you think I gotta fix it, shop? 'Cause I'm really in a heck of a fix.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.